Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Bob, Chris, Steve, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
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 Hey, hey, hey. How's it going?
It's pretty good today.
That's not usual. What you were saying like 5 minutes ago.
I know. I'm working like 13 hour. I don't even know how long. I just work all day.
13 hours?
13 hours? That means you get out of the house by 8 o'clock.
I don't know. It was a long day. It's a long day every day, but that's kind of how it is.
I'm going to get a violin.
Okay. Today we're going to talk a little bit about some Disney news. We're going to start off with Chris, and you've got some Epcot news. What do you have?
Okay. So this year, every year they do holidays around the world at Epcot. And, you know, they'll have little Christmas shows and little stories and everything. And it's all very cute. But this year they've added something new and it's really fun. They've added food booths. So everywhere you go, each country is going to have something to do with, you know, like a little drink or something. But some of the countries, about four or five of them, have specific booths set up specifically selling like four or five drinks and two or three different food items. And for example, in Germany, they've got all these caramel drinks and chocolate drinks and everything. And in the it's not a country, but when you first come in, you know, that promenade section, they have a couple of different interesting things. They've got a turkey waffle, which doesn't sound very good, but it's a waffle. And I had this, which really helped me get over my sadness over having bad turkey for Thanksgiving on the Magic. But it's a waffle that's the waffle itself is made out of basically stuffing flavored. And then it's layered with gravy, which, of course, is always good, and turkey and cranberry sauce. It was super good. And so I thought that was just really a fun idea. And it's sort of like what they did at Flower and Garden. They set up food booths and no one seemed to really know what was going on. So none of those booths had lines. But I talked to one of the cast members and he said, yeah, you know, they haven't really been that successful. But we're going to add more next year and we're going to publicize it. And I think that's probably the case with these food booths at Christmas around the world. And you get a little holiday passport, and so you can check things off. For example, if you go to the American Adventure, you can get a gingerbread man and check that off. Or if you go to Italy, you can get a limoncello spritzer, you know, just little things. So it's just more fun to have at a – more fun to be had, I should say, at Epcot.
I like that idea.
Me too.
I like the food.
Me too.
All about food.
Yep.
And the food and wine is so popular now, at least it seems like, or the days I pick to go, it's just so hard to even get the food.
I actually think it might be good if they do a little in Flower and Garden and a little during the holidays, because I think they need to spread it out a little bit because it's so crowded now.
Yeah. I hope what happens is they do publicize it more, because even at the one, I mean, this was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which should be a busy day in the park. There were no lines for these kiosks. So I'm thinking people really don't know what's going on. But if they publicize it, they will. And if they add more, I think it'll be fun. So.
Sounds good.
Bob, you're going to have to go over there and try something for us.
Yeah, sure. That sounds good. Although the waffle sounds kind of.
Turkey
I
waffle.
I thought it was bad too. But
are you
I
waffling
looking,
on the waffle?
A cast member walked by me and he goes, get the waffle. It's really good. So I thought, eh, how bad can it be?
Turkey waffle.
No, you know, well, it's kind of like the holiday sandwich at Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think, oh, gosh, that doesn't sound really appealing, the idea but that's great. I mean, it's like leftover Thanksgiving on a sandwich. It's great.
Yeah.
So,
you know, well, and I was only going to have a couple of bites of it because we were supposed to be at Liberty Tree Tavern like an hour and a half after that for lunch. And so I was like, I'll just have a couple bites and it's a tax write off. But I ate the whole thing. So even before Kevin got over there, because Kevin and Eric were on test track or something. And I was like, oh, sorry. But they also had this sweet potato casserole waffle.
I love sweet potatoes.
Yeah, with pecans. That sounded really good too.
Mm.
So
well, that is interesting. I'll have to head over there and try some stuff. The caramel stuff sounds interesting in Germany, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that sounded really good, too. I wish I had gotten one of those drinks, but I was I had the twins with me, and they were kind of dragging me along, so I didn't get to spend as much time as I would have liked to. There's also a lot of new merchandise out there. Like, when we were at the American Pavilion, they had a ton of toys and things out for kids. They had these creepy princess dolls that were Precious Moments. Is that what it is? So they were, they were disgusting looking, to be honest, but they were little princess dolls, and they were sort of made by that company. So they had those big weird eyes, and then they had, and Bob would love this, they had a Duffy, like a miniature Duffy. Now you get little miniature clothes for him, stuff like that.
It's a mini me Duffy.
I should have gotten Bob. That would have been good. Like for when you travel as a travel snuggle bear.
Oh, yes.
Should be a Duffy one though.
Yeah. Or you could bring it into court with you. He could have fit in your pocket.
I could have him sticking out of the little pocket on my shirt, wearing a little Santa hat.
And he had a Santa outfit. That's the thing. You could buy a Santa outfit.
I have an opening statement.
Arrest this man.
Right. I'm sure that would go over well.
He could be your co-counsel. He could be your co-counsel in whatever you have a brief, you could conference with him and stuff. It'd be awesome.
I need time to talk to Second Chair, Your Honor. That would be great. I'm going to have to check it out. I liked the idea last year of the food booths during Flower and Garden Festival, and you're absolutely right. People didn't seem to know what the deal was with them, so they were pretty much ignored the entire time. But I do know that they said they are bringing them back again this year, and they're going to expand upon that idea and maybe try to give it a little bit more attention. So hopefully people get into this. Yeah.
They had some really interesting things, because I remember they had one for Florida, and they had that shrimp and grits, which was so good. It was probably the best thing I'd ever had at a kiosk in Epcot. It was fantastic.
Extra holiday cheer. I like that idea a lot.
We've got a new promotion, don't we, Lauren?
We do.
Do tell.
Disney Cruise Line has put out some really great rates for the January 29th, 2014 four-night Bahama cruise out of Miami on the Disney Wonder. The rates are starting at $130 per person per night, and that's based on double occupancy. For a deluxe ocean view cabin, category 9, they're actually pricing out at $1,040 for two people right now.
Oh, that's a good deal. A
really good deal for a four night.
You get to go down to Miami, get out of the cold.
Yeah, and that's the new refurbished ship.
At the Bahamas. I want to say it stops at, I know it's Castaway, the private island, but I want to say it also was stopping at Key West.
Nice. That is dirt cheap. And it was 80 degrees here in Florida today.
Nice.
You're looking for a quick getaway.
I'm not impressed. It was 66 here, Bob.
It was a
nice day here.
Today.
It was nice here too.
It was rainy and drizzly all day though.
Hey, I win.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
80 and sunny. Take that, suckers. it was beautiful. It was hard to tell when you walked out your door this morning that it was actually December 4th.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
It's very, very nice. So, yeah, I would totally jump on that deal. If you are in snow and ice and sleet and freezing cold weather, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on down.
And we, Chris and her family and Lisa and I went on the Disney Magic for 5 nights.
Yep.
Yes.
And we'll do another show on that coming up. We had a really good time.
You don't want to fit it in here?
No.
We're not going to talk
about
it.
It's going to be a long.
Is it?
Yeah, it'll be like 7 hours at least.
Yeah. I have to complain about how bad the turkey was for at least an hour, Lisa.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every day I would think to myself, oh, gosh, I can't wait for that turkey. Then we got it. It was terrible.
You're starting already.
Yeah,
I know.
But there was a lot of other things that were really good. So we'll talk about
that. It was awesome. I would do a holiday cruise again in a minute.
And that's pretty much what you did this last time.
I know, right? It was great. Thank you again for inviting me.
Absolutely.
I wasn't invited. Were you invited, Bob?
Actually, he was. Yeah, it was.
Nice.
I was invited, but I had adult obligations with the whole job thing, and
yes,
yeah. I see the pecking order.
Yeah, and this cruise, we took this cruise, and we'll talk about it later. But we took this cruise, the next day. We booked it on Friday,
about 2 o'clock on Friday, and we left at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we could drive all the way down to Miami to catch the ship on Sunday.
Yeah, we booked it through our packed and threw the stuff in the car and literally got in the car and left.
And the highlight of the cruise for Steve was the fact that my oldest child brought a book about the Titanic.
Yeah, so what in the world? So this kid's like walking around reading the Titanic on the ship. And all the cast members are like, what are you doing? I'm like,
it's interesting to him.
He's got weird parents.
Okay, so we're not talking about the cruise now.
No, we're not.
Tell.
So there's all kinds of great things coming up about the Titanic, about Chris
Turkey.
And Turkey.
I'm not talking to
the
you
Aqua
about
Dunk,
the Titanic again, just so you
the
know.
The holidays.
I'm not talking to any of you.
Yeah.
Okay, it was an offer made to all of the agents. Don't go there, Lauren.
Nope.
Everyone was alerted.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, it
was open, invited.
It was open up to everybody, but it was last minute. It was literally...
And you know, honestly,
next day.
You are so the last person to be able to go.
With cheer and everything.
It's a valid point. Doesn't matter.
No.
I missed you. And she even sent me an email when I was out there saying that her life wasn't complete without me or something
like
that.
Void.
It really was. I did. I sang to you, too.
You did. It was wonderful. That I was the wind beneath your wings. It was beautiful.
That's right. It was really nice. It was
okay. I need to move on from here.
Sorry. Yes, please.
Goodness.
Nobody cares about our special moment, Lauren.
Okay, go ahead.
Terrible. Keep going. Sorry. We're digressing.
Okay, so what do we know about the mine train? What's going on with the mine train? Any updates?
So I was there last weekend.
Oh, that's right. When you ditched us. I remember.
I'm sorry. So I was there last weekend and... you know, every time I go there, I expect to be wowed by what's been completed. And, you know, we were there in early November, and there are some differences. I mean, like if you look through the little observation windows, you can see that the queue is completely done. Like there's, you know, the same kind of fencing that they have over with Storytime with Bill is in place over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that they've already opened up the DVC kiosk over there. So, Bob, you're good to go with that.
Thank God.
And, yes. And, you know, you can see all the buildings are done. But when you look in, it just doesn't look done. You know, there's bare track. There's no, the skin isn't entirely on the thing. You know, it's crazy. So we were talking about when we think it's going to open because, you know, we'd all sort of hoped that it would open for the holidays this year. And then we hoped that it would open before spring break. But
now we're hoping for next holidays.
Right. Well, so I just wanted to know what y'all thought of this because I got a text from a listener who said that that he has a friend who works in the Magic Kingdom in the new Fantasyland and that she was given leave the first week in April. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And he said, well, when they open up a new attraction, they don't give you any leave that week plus 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after. So everyone's, you know, basically kept from taking leave. So he said, that means it's not going to open up mid-March to mid-April because otherwise they wouldn't have given this girl leave. So my question is, when do you think it's going to open? Is it going to open in February? Because it's got to be done in time for the spring break rush, right?
One would think, but one would have thought it would have been done by the end of this year.
Yeah.
When is spring break? Probably February, March.
The thing about Disney is spring, I mean, Easter is the 22nd of April, right?
Yeah, but they declare spring break differently, don't they?
Well, basically it's March and April.
Yeah.
So you're thinking maybe February?
I don't know. I used to think it would be mid-March.
Well, December's almost we're already into the first week, and then they're gonna do test rides, right, Bob, for like at least two weeks or three weeks or something.
I mean, they're gonna
with cast members and
soft openings. That's gonna be like a month.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think it's gonna happen before spring break.
I think you're right.
If the idea is to have something new to attract people to maybe take away some of the thunder from the Diagon Alley.
No, that's true.
Expansion that's not scheduled to open tentatively from what I'm hearing until late spring, you know, early summer. So they don't necessarily need it to be ready for spring break.
So that's true. So they could be.
I think it opens by May.
You know what, Bob? That's actually an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're thinking that they want to get it done before the spring break crowds come in, because it would be embarrassing to have that eyesore there again. But it makes sense that they would want something to take, you're right, to take away from that. That's actually really smart.
Yeah. So they're probably holding it back.
We could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But
it's tough because it wouldn't be the first time. Well, and
right.
People keep asking us, and I know Lauren gets this, but people keep asking us, they're like, when do you think it's going to open? That's when I want to go. And I'm like, God, I can't even tell you. There's not even any good gossip out there.
And some of that stuff, I mean, it looks rough now, but some of that stuff, you remember with New Fantasyland, it looked rough. And then like 2 weeks later, they'd have it all cleaned up and plants are going in and...
But if you look in through the window at that section that's right across from Story, well, it's right across from the car, the little car ride. I can never remember the name, the Speedway ride. If you look in through those windows, it's just a pile of dirt in that area. There are tracks right near the window, which surprised me how close they were, but it's a lot of dirt. So.
Is the track even completely finished? Do we know that?
It looked finished. I mean, on the other side, if you stand on the fountain at Gaston's Tavern, and you get a pretty good view of some of the track from that side, because obviously I'm a nerd and I do that. And it looks like it's pretty much done. And it certainly doesn't look intimidating, I will say that.
No, and I don't think it was ever meant to. But yeah, I just think that, you know, you've got a competitor who's going to have a lot of attention focused their way.
Yeah.
It would just stand to reason that they want to have something new too, that they can promote at the same time.
Yeah.
Do we know how much is opening over at Universal? Like how big that area is going to be? Is there a ride?
Gringotts Bank roller coaster. We are talking all of what was Amityville and the Jaws attraction is gone, and that whole section from Disaster all the way down to right about where the Fear Factor building is Diagon Alley and Gringotts Bank.
Now, are they linking that with the other park?
Yes. Yes, they are. Maybe not initially from what they're saying, but yeah. And in fact, they were testing the train over there just the other day. And it's going to be essentially that, from what I'm aware of, the first park to ever link to parks like that, that's actually going to require a multi-day ticket for people to be able to ride that from one park to the other. But yes, you'll be able to take the train from one park over to the other side to experience both worlds of Harry Potter.
Kind of like the monorail at Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a huge expansion. Now, is it going to open all at once? I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope.
I would think so. That's how they did it last time when they opened up Harry Potter. They opened it all at once.
Mm-hmm. And they did just start putting up today. Brett from the WDW Fanboys posted pictures today of that they started working on the outside.
I saw those. Yeah,
he was there.
It's moving right along. So I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but if I was Disney, I'd time it. And I may even hold back a little bit just so that they open at the same time or right around the same time.
Yeah, so you have two news stories.
Right. So I would say late spring if I was guessing.
Yeah, and the next thing on the books for Disney is Avatar, and that's way, way, way out.
Oh gosh. So, no one cares about that anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know. I'm actually thinking that's going to be pretty cool when it's done.
You know, have they even started ripping up the ground over there? I hear like nothing about that.
They said they moved the Lion King already, didn't they?
I guess
did we hear that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember hearing that. So, yeah, because no one's like taking pictures of what's going on over at Avatar Land. So either
that's because nobody.
Yeah, I know. So it'd be like, hey, it's built. It's been 5 years. But yeah, maybe they'll start doing some progress reports on that. What's next, Lisa?
Next, we're going to just kind of mention what we, even though we're not supposed to talk about the cruise, we're going to just.
Oh.
What? I'm going to talk about the cruise.
No. I was going to say, someone over on our Disney Dreamer site posted something that I thought was interesting, and I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Hmm. Okay, go ahead and tell us.
Matthew, I guess I can say his whole name. Matthew Wallace, he's on the Disney Dreamer site, and he just posted he was dining at Beaches and Cream tonight, and his server told them that Beaches and Cream over at Beach Club will become an ADA required restaurant. I'm sure it's ADA compliant. ADR required restaurant beginning December 18th. So you will need to make advanced dining reservations for Beaches and Cream beginning December 18th by calling 407-WDW-DINE.
That's smart.
That is smart because that place is tiny. So I always wondered if they were going to do that.
Well, and I was always hoping that they were going to expand
that
too.
Is
that
on the dining plan?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. It is now.
Yeah. I was always hoping that they would bump that out and make it like at least twice the size. And I know
that would take away from it.
That's what I was going to say too. Because that's the charm.
The rumor that they were going to get rid of Ariel's, but they haven't yet.
No, it's still it's
just sitting there.
Ariel's is a great place to take your kids if you have little kids and they just want to run around. That's what I did last time I went in there.
Yeah.
It was open. So we just...
Yeah, we went in. Well,
yeah,
it was a while ago.
This was, a couple of years ago. They use it for, like, every abandoned thing is used as a group space.
They used to have wedding receptions there, too, but I think they stopped...
Well, there was a rumor that
they were supposed to be closed.
That's what, yeah. There were some rumors a year or so ago that they were closing it, and then everyone thought, okay, they can't book wedding receptions or any events there right now, so maybe they're going to put a different restaurant in, or maybe they're going to do Beaches and Cream, and then nothing happened.
I wouldn't want Beaches and Cream to become huge.
I know.
I do like the feel of it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Even if it just doubled in size.
Yeah. That's the problem.
It would go a long way.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
I figured that this would happen. So I don't know if that's true or not, although I don't know why a server would tell them that. If that is true, December 18th is the rumor.
What I was trying to say earlier is, yes, you can go ahead and call the WDW number, or you can just call your travel agent. They'll be happy to make all the dining reservations you need.
Yes.
Okay. So what I was alluding to before was a little bit of news that we found out while on the Magic this past week. They are now using Magic Bands for the Kids Club, for the Oceaneers Club, well, all the levels. And it's kind of neat because the bands don't come off. They actually lock them on.
Yeah, so it's the standard Magic Band that you would get at Disney World. And then the only thing different on it is it has Disney Youth programs or Disney Kids Club or something's kind of silk screened on it and the little cruise line logo on part of the band. And they're yellow. And then once they put them on the kid, they wire tie them on.
Yeah, kind of.
Basically, it's a black wire tie in this little plastic Mickey circle that they wrap around the end of the band so you can't pull it off again.
Which is good. It's good or bad because just because we were on the cruise not too long ago for Halloween, the girls had the Magic Bands and they had the little ribbons, the typical,
yeah, the old version of them,
you know, concert wristbands. And we were able to take those off when the girls didn't want them on. They didn't like to sleep with them. And we were able to pop them off and put them back on, and they were fine. And these, you could not take off at all.
But these, and the old style were definitely not comfortable for the kids. The magic bands are definitely more comfortable. And
yeah, so
they,
that's good.
And then they try to sell them to you. They're like, hey, we're going to charge you, they're $12.95. And we're just going to charge them to the room unless you return them. So
no,
you,
they do charge them,
yeah,
to the
room.
Yeah,
and they do charge you. They're charged to the room.
And then
room.
You get a refund,
yeah,
if you bring them back.
You get a refund if you bring them back.
Unless you're Chris Wood.
Yeah, so yeah, they're trying
they
to charge you.
They charged me. I had to go up there and ask for a refund.
Yeah. So you could keep them and bring them back next time. But
they'll charge you for them.
But why, but who's going to remember to bring it back? It's too hard
well,
to do.
Well, that's kind of the point.
For $13.
Well, so what is the benefit, though, of the magic band with the on board with the ship?
So you have to have, all the kids used to have this big bulky band that they had to wear.
It wasn't big and bulky. It was
uncomfortable.
Bulkier,
before. And they used that to check them in and out of the kids' club. So they scan it to come in.
Oh,
because
they had that device on there. You're right. They were big and bulky.
So they make, so they used that before to, you know, to check your kid in and out. And that would track the kid in the kids' club, too, to make sure they're in there. Now they have the magic band, which is much smaller, easier to put on. And they had the Mickey head thing just like at the park. And you touch it and it turns green. And then your kid goes in and then they touch it to go out. And and you have to give a password, too. And then they let the kids out. Well, but then they can tell where they are in the club.
Then doesn't that mean that Disney can track... Yeah, so where they could, your child is and they're on board the ship?
No, they can only track them in the... Well, they've got the tracking set up in the club. Mm-hmm. So in the clubs, when you walk in, because the clubs are pretty big, there's two of them, and they could be in either one, and there's a hallway that connects the two that the kids can walk into to get from one club to another. And so, you know, they can say, okay, she's over here playing on a computer, and your other kid is over in Andy's room by the slide. And then you can go find them to check them out if they want to leave. Yeah. So they know where they are.
Well, it was funny because I went to go get Chris's kids and they said, well, Eric is walking from the lab to the club. He's in the hallway right now.
Yeah.
And Sophie's over in Andy's playroom and Thomas is over on the computers.
And you can see the little antennas in the ceiling that, you know, are determining what zone they're in. So you can see where those antennas are and they must somehow...
It was very handy because it made you, well, it allowed you to know exactly where to look for your child, but it's still a little creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. And this kind of indicates to me that, and I welcome it, but the cruise line has got to be moving toward a keyless travel and just going with the magic bands on the cruise. And
well,
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and they have on the doors now the touch, you know, the...
Touch
you,
key.
Yeah, so you don't have to slide it in and slide it out. You just touch it just like at Disney World. But they still have the Key to the World cards, which have RF, I guess, ID in them, because you just touch them, and then the door opens.
Well, so if they can track you on the cruise ship, though, or at least in that set area where the antennas are, then it stands to reason that they also could put those antennas up in locations around the parks and track you.
Yeah, and you got to think that, I mean, you got to think like the ultimate idea of this thing eventually is, hey, you're walking by Starbucks and we have a special and you know you have your smartphone because you have the app on there and then all of a sudden a coupon comes up and says, you know, between now and this time get a, you know, 10% discount or... You tell that they're getting ready to leave the park for the day and they're walking by the gift shops and you want to throw them a special to try to get them in the gift shop. So they'll do target. You would think they'll do target advertising.
Targeted advertising, I'm sure, because I bet they'll be able to eventually, if they can't already, know what your spending habits are, what you've been buying, have been buying, where you've been shopping. Absolutely. One of the things that I think would be will be great with this system, as far as the magic bands, given that they can identify where kids are on, you know, in the clubs. If a child gets lost in the parks,
maybe
eventually they can say we have them at such and such location. They're standing outside of, you know, Aladdin's you know, spinning camel ride.
Yep. Spinning camel?
Flying carpets. I knew
there
that
you go.
The
I want to go on your ride, though.
Yeah, that would be a lot more fun. No,
camel
right,
puke.
So, I mean, don't you think that would be a fantastic use of it? That I mean, because kids do tend to get lost at those parks, and immediately you'll be able to identify where they are.
Well, do you think that they'll incorporate that into some sort of phone app that you can pinpoint your specific child on a map, on a phone app?
That would be cool.
That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'd have to do it in such a way that only...
Well,
and I guess they can, because
your
individual
you're,
RFID or something.
Right.
Or individual
your,
tracking,
your magic
so that you
band,
can only see your child and not...
Your magic band is connected to your tickets, which are connected to your account, and you should be able to find anyone... on your account.
Your party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very feasible.
Yeah.
I mean for safety purposes, I'm not thrilled with a lot of aspects of my Magic Plus, but just for safety purposes, I think that would be a great use of the technology.
Bob, they're already tracking you.
Yeah.
They actually inserted a chip in Bob.
I think they did. I think they hired the aliens, and Bob, you've got a chip in you.
I thought it was a mosquito bite.
Huh.
I was like, ow! And turns out it was a blow dart with a chip being inserted in my neck. And yeah.
So sad.
So.
Okay, well, I want to go over one more thing, and this is up to you guys. You want to talk about a certain article that came out, speaking of magic bands?
Oh, I'm game.
I thought you would be. Bob, go ahead.
So, okay, standard disclaimer. We don't know how much of this article is true, if anything in this article is true. I tend to believe the sources, you know, or I tend to believe the validity of the information, but we don't know... if it is true or not, if it will come to pass or not, these are just the facts as reported. If you haven't heard, anyway, the article that set the Disney community afire last week, Mice Chat, wrote a very detailed article, basically where they stated that due to the heavy cost of the Magic Bands and then the My Magic Plus system in Florida, which is over $1 billion at this point, that a lot of projects have now been put on hold in both coasts. Major projects basically being put on hold. 60th anniversary celebration at Disneyland being scaled back. The Star Wars land that they are proposing out in Disneyland being at least temporarily put on hold, if not outright canceled. Monstropolis being canceled out there, and obviously it would therefore seem logical that if those projects are put on hold or canceled, that things that they're talking about doing on this coast, you know, at Walt Disney World, like a Star Wars Galaxy Land or Avatar World of Pandora. You know, could be canceled as well, or at least temporarily put on hold. And so I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of speculation as to the article and a lot of people going back and forth. I mean, a day later, one of the Imagineers, Jason Sorrell, tweeted that 90% of what was written in that article was complete bull and shouldn't be believed.
Well, even if it's 90%, there's still 10% there. I wonder what the truth is.
Right. What 10% is true?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and I wouldn't put that much stake in the 60th anniversary not being that big of a deal. I mean, why would Disney do anything big for their 60th anniversary? They didn't do anything big for the 30th at Epcot or the 40th at the Magic Kingdom.
True.
You didn't
so
like that
that's
cupcake?
Not. You know, I didn't even get my hands on that cupcake. So, I mean, what I'm saying is some of that sort of like, you know, here nor there.
Yeah. I think the one part that I read about, you know, how Disney and basically any company, when they do some big thing, they want to get their return on investment as soon as they can. And the delaying of this is definitely costing them money. And, you know, like when anybody launches a cruise ship, they are trying to fill those cabins like the day that thing comes out of dry dock. And a lot of times those cruise ships, you know, have to refund people's money because they make those deadlines so tight because they're trying to get their return on investment as quickly as they can and fill those rooms. So they've got to be doing the same thing with Magic Bands, where they want to get their money back that they've invested in this project. And they probably wanted to have it, you know, up and running middle to late last year at the latest and start seeing a return. And they're still going through testing and still trying to work out bugs and costing more money.
I mean, how do you think they make money off of this Magic Band system, though?
It's got to be because it gets you... It's got to be a couple of things. One is that they get you in the park quicker with... You touch your band, you get your band at home, you got it on, you get right on the Magical Express, you get right to the park, and you're spending money there instead of at the airport or getting a rental car or wasting time. But the longer you're there, the more money you're spending on drinks and souvenirs and getting into the park. And then they've got to be plussing it up with ways to get your photos easier, tying everything to the Magic Band with photos and ride photos and a whole package on a DVD, and then some way of offering you different things based on your preferences. But none of that's come. I mean, right now they're still struggling with just getting you in the room into the park, and your FastPass Plus is the big...
And it still hasn't been determined or revealed how annual pass holders who are local, who aren't staying on property, when are we given our Magic Bands, and when do we get to use them, and how will we get to use them? That's still undecided or unknown at this point. I'm sure it's not undecided, but it's still an unknown.
I think the big moneymaker for them is if only Disney Resort guests get Magic Bands, then the big money maker for them is if you want to ride three rides and plan them in advance and make sure that you've got those on your schedule, because there's no more fast passes if they got rid of the old fast pass system, then you have to stay on property. Then if you have to stay on property, then you're making all that money on rooms and food and everything.
It's smart. It is truly a smart thing if they don't extend it to offsite guests. Now, I can see them, they kind of need to do it for annual pass holders, but not giving it to offsite guests, as much as I hate it because it's not very, I don't know, just seems less touchy-feely than I'm used to from Disney. But as from a business standpoint, I think it's super smart not to extend it. Bob, I wanted to tell you, though, that when I checked in, so when we left Miami on Saturday morning, my husband and I decided to go to Disney World for a couple of days and with the kids. We didn't leave them in Miami. And
probably smart.
I know, right? Because there are all these rules, which, you know. Anyway, so on the way there, I call and I got a reservation at Port Orleans. And I, as a travel agent, I was extremely shocked, as an aside, to be able to get a standard view room at Port Orleans on the Saturday or Friday after Thanksgiving. But I think that's another topic. Anyway, so I got my room on the way up. And when I checked in, they gave me 5 gray Magic Bands. And I said, can I add our annual passes? And he said, no, you cannot add annual passes to these gray Magic Bands, which I thought was interesting. So that meant I couldn't get any fast passes. So if you're Bob and say you decide, you know, hey, I'm going to stay a couple nights on property, but you decide short notice, less than a week, there's no incentive because you can't get fast passes currently. You can't add your annual pass to that. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah.
I was somewhat concerned that maybe the guy didn't know what he was talking about, because I know that you can add your annual pass to a Magic Band regardless. But yeah, they said that I couldn't add them if I hadn't customized my band ahead of time.
Hmm. That's another problem. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can and can't do. And then also there's a lot of people that you never know if you're getting the right answer. You know, because there's so much, there's so many different answers and who you talk to. And it's like, is this person just not, you know, wanting to sit here with me for an hour to do this? And they're just saying, oh, you can't do it. Or,
I mean, but, oh, go ahead.
Here's something else that I didn't like. And it's just one example. But, you know, the Little Mermaid ride in the Magic Kingdom, that is a very fast loading attraction. And even in July when we were there, you didn't really wait that long. They had so many stops because they had so many people, and the fast pass line was ridiculous for Little Mermaid. Whereas I had never seen people waiting in line for fast, you know, for the fast pass entrance. There was this huge line, and ours was just as big. And it took well over an hour to get on Little Mermaid. And I thought it has to be because of the fast pass line, because they were stopping all of us and letting a big herd of them go through. And we would wait like 10 minutes and not move. And then we'd move a little bit and then it would happen again. So I have to wonder if the fact that people are fast pass like Little Mermaid, whereas before they just never fast passed it, because why would you? I mean, it moves 2,500 people an hour.
Right.
So,
I mean, that defeats the purpose of
yes.
Yeah.
You just took an attraction that I can almost walk on in the middle of July during a busy day and turned it into an hour long plus wait.
Right.
And the parks weren't
backfire.
Crowded.
Yeah.
The parks were not crowded. For Thanksgiving weekend, they were not crowded at all. And I thought, you know, because my husband had less of a wait on Winnie the Pooh with the other kids. So
I mean, but what do you guys think? I mean, obviously you spend this kind of money. It's coming from somewhere in the budget. Are we going to see all these projects scrapped? And I know what you're saying about the 60th anniversary and it not necessarily being a big deal. And I would agree if it was on this coast. But you know how Disneyland is. They tend to.
Yeah, that's true. They tend to be a little precious.
Yeah. So I would think that would be a big deal. But I mean, are we really potentially looking at no projects being started? I mean, no big undertakings being started for X amount of years? I mean, what's the timeline to make back $1 billion? I mean,
I will say, and it pains me to say this because there's a lot of things about Mice Chat that I don't like, but I think they're probably one of the best sources for Disney gossip out there. So there's got to be some truth to what they're saying. I don't know.
At least part of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
They wouldn't have put that out there. And I think that article was written by Norm, which is one of the owners of the site. He wouldn't put that out there if he didn't have good sources.
It's a big thing to put out there without having substantial
backup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, Chris, I mean, even if 10% of the article turns out to be true, well, what 10% is true?
Well, and if you're Jason Sorrell and you're the face of Imagineering at Walt Disney World, and he really is one of the more well-known Imagineers on this coast, of course you're going to say that. What are you going to say? Yeah, they're right. Got us again, Mice Chat.
That is also true. I mean, you're not going to admit anything, and you're going to toe the party line. So,
yep.
I really hope it's not true because
it'd be so disappointing.
At this point, Bob, all I want them to do is get that stinking mine train going. They
yeah,
get that
let's,
running,
let's start
I don't
with
care
that.
About anything else.
Yeah, let's start with that. Let's finish that and mark the completion of New Fantasyland.
Right.
And then worry about other stuff.
You know, the other,
but I do think, I mean, a lot of that article focused, unfortunately, on what was happening, and not unfortunately, because I know they're a West Coast blog typically, or more so. So a lot of that focused on how it could affect them out there. But I mean, there's no denying that there are lots of things that could be done here. So I'd hate to think that projects are being scrapped.
Well, I would.
Yeah. And they're also still doing all these international projects, because I was just reading Disneyland Paris, the Ratatouille ride is opening in 2014. They haven't said when. But,
Do you think it'll be open by the time you get out there?
I'm hoping. I'm there. I should be there in May, June.
Is it wrong that I secretly hope you'll miss it?
Yes. I want to ride it, and it's supposed to be, you know, trackless, dark ride, with all kinds of very cool projection screen systems and all that. So I'm thinking similar to that.
I mean, there's no doubt
they
have a lot of irons in the fire at any one time.
And then they have Shanghai with everything they're doing there.
Shanghai and Tokyo. Shanghai and Paris and
Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So then they've got expansions going on at almost a lot of them with new things coming. So
I'm so terrible. I have to say, I still have faith that everything's going to be fine. God, that was bad. Cut that out. Don't you, though? Don't you sort of feel that it's all going to work out? I mean,
it always,
you know,
does.
Yeah, I mean, I still have faith in the Disney magic. Let's put it that way. I do.
Well, so it's we will
I think
see,
she's going to break out into song.
Read the article, the
one thing I just miss and wish would happen is like a giant announcement for like Star Wars Land, where it was going to be some, you know, Harry Potter sized or twice the size type of thing. So you could, you know, so you had different, you know, 2 or 3 years just to talk about it and wait to see what's coming. And they slowly release
stuff.
And
they need that, because what really bums me out is it's been, I think, 8 years now since the last e-ticket attraction at Walt Disney World. So even if they were to announce something today, you're looking at least a couple years before something opens. But at least if there was a big announcement, hey, we're moving forward with Star Wars Galaxy Land, or we're going to break ground on Pandora and it's going to open, in you know, at least you'd know, you'd have something to look forward to. But there's nothing. There's no announcements like that coming out. So
yeah, it's hard. It's hard because you see Universal doing it, because they knock these rides out super quick and within a year and a half or whatever. It's like your local Six Flags that every year has to have something new. So they knock that kind of stuff out pretty quick, and Disney takes this longer approach. But
so yeah, that was my biggest concern when I read this article. Like, well, it's been this long, and if this is true, how much longer is it going to be? So please don't let it be true. So I do have faith that it like Lauren said, it always works out. I mean, they're not just going to sit by and do nothing. So.
Okay, well, I think we've covered that pretty well. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show right here. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring our podcast. If you like our shows, you can go to iTunes or you can go to mousechat.net and you can download them there. And if you've got any comments or questions for us, please don't hesitate to write to us at comments@mousechat.net. And thank you for listening. Join us again next time on Mouse Chat.